Joshua 6 is about battle. So it fits tonight. They've crossed the river. They have been circumcised, this new generation. They've been prepared. They've put away anything that could hinder them being right with God. And so, remember last week, the captain of the Lord's host met Joshua and promised to lead them and help them win Jericho. And that's where we find ourselves here in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 6. It says, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear the ark of the seven, bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And so in these remaining verses, Joshua then passes this on to the priests. So we'll jump down to 16 to save time. It came to pass that the 7th time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew at the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto 2 men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. So I'm going to take my title from 16. The Lord hath given you the city. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, the privilege to open it together and hear from you tonight, and pray that we would learn things that would help us to be faithful servants and soldiers of yours. Thank you for your word. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us are very familiar with this story, but look who's speaking to Joshua in verse 2. It's still the captain of the Lord's host, and the Lord, all caps, L-O-R-D, Jehovah, said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho. Amen? They haven't gone in yet. The walls haven't fallen down yet, but God says, I've given it to you. It's yours. And that is, my friend, exactly how the Christian life is. Heaven's already our home. Amen? We already have a mansion. All that's done. Sins are forgiven. Holy Spirit indwells us. Jesus is coming to take us to glory. It's all done. And what does God want from us now? He wants us to obviously go into the promised land, the victorious Christian life, take the cities, live for God. But how much has already been given to us? Think about it. The wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God is eternal life. Amen? Look at 1 Corinthians 2:9, if you would. The Bible says that there's so much awaiting us, and it's not things that we have to earn or things that we have to hope that we will be able to acquire someday. It's things that are already ours. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Done. Ephesians 2:6, look at that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It may not feel like it, but you're actually already in heaven. See, in God's mind's eye, when you got saved, you were put into Christ. Amen? You were made part of Jesus, part of the body of Christ. Where's Jesus right now? He's in heaven. We're in Him. So yes, we are physically here on earth serving God, doing our best to please God. But spiritually speaking, and because time means nothing to God, we're already in heaven, in Jesus, in heavenly places. It's already ours. God's already given it to us. But God has many lessons to teach Israel, obviously. And so He gives them these very special instructions. Did you get the sevens? Seven priests, seven trumpets, 7 days, seven times on the seventh day. You think seven's one of God's numbers? Read through Revelation. You'll find that is definitely God's number. The number of perfection, the number of God. And what is He saying? He's saying, I already have this. It's already your city. I've already given it to you. Guys, think about it. From an earthly standpoint, is walking around the city the best way to take it? Just walking circles for a week? Is that the best way to take a city? No, but if that's the way they took the city, who gets the glory? God. Amen? God's going to get the glory, not man. And you know, sometimes God gives us spiritual victories in our own walk, in our own Christian lives, but He's going to do it in His way, not our way. We want it to go our way. And I'm sure there would have been people in the camp that would have thought, why are we doing this? Why are we, every day they make us get up, they won't let us talk, and they make us walk around the entire city. Jericho was a big city. For a whole week, we have to do this. You imagine the complaining at night, not during the day, they weren't allowed to talk, but at night, the complaining that would have gone on. Why can't we just go take the city? Why do we have to walk around it for a week? Well, because that's what God told you to do. And at the time, it may not seem logical or the best way, but that's what God said to do, so that's what you should do. Amen? And did you notice everybody has a part? Because I'll talk about this more, but think about it. God said, excuse me, the city is yours. Amen? I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to knock the walls down. Why didn't He just kill everybody at the same time? I mean, if He's going to knock the walls down flat anyway, why not just send down a hailstorm or fire or open up the earth, do something? Why not just kill everybody? He didn't, did He? I'm going to knock the walls down, but you still got to pull your swords out and go in and kill everybody in the city. You still have to go take the city in a fight, in a battle. So He's already teaching them this lesson that, yes, it's yours, but you got to fight for it. God wants us to live the victorious life. He wants us to get out of the desert, stop wandering, cross the Jordan, live for Jesus 100%. But every city that we take, it's going to require us getting our sword out and fighting. It's already ours. God's already promised it to us. So many spiritual victories are ours, but we got to fight. So Joshua obviously had a part in this. The priests had a part. And the people had a part. And God had a part. Everybody had a part in this amazing victory. This, I think I just read recently that they just found, they already know where Jericho is, but because it has been rebuilt, but they found more evidences of the wall that had been knocked flat, which we don't need that as Christians, but every time this happens, it just verifies Scripture even more for the world. But God did not say, I want you to go knock the wall down. I want you to go pull it down with ropes or, you know, special inventions of throwing stones or whatever. I'll knock it down. You just have to obey my very special instructions. You've got to march around the city 7 days. You're not allowed to speak. The priests are to blow their trumpets exactly as I've prescribed. If you'll obey all those special instructions, I'll knock it down. Well, they did. Praise God. they followed it to the letter. That's verses 6 down through where we read. So verse 16, it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. That's our title. The Lord hath given you the city. Look at John 10:10, if you would. There's so many Christians that are wandering in the desert, wondering why God isn't blessing them, wondering why their prayers aren't getting answered. God's waiting. God wants to answer their prayers. God wants to bless them. But as long as they keep wandering in the desert, it's not going to happen. God's waiting for them to cross the river and start taking cities. Jesus told us here in John 10:10, the thief, talking about the devil, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Amen? That's what Jesus came to bring us. Salvation, eternal life, yes, but also the abundant life. He wants every believer in Jesus Christ to live that life, to fight every enemy, and there are many, most of them are in our heart. There are other enemies like the devil. He wants us to fight and take this land that's already ours, already promised, but we have to fight. The victory is already ours. Of course, Joshua kept his promise about Rahab. We saw that. But then he gave a warning. It's always a warning, isn't there? How many warnings have we read, especially in Deuteronomy? It's your city. If you'll follow these instructions, I will give it to you. I'm just going to hand it to you. Just got to go in and take it. But be careful. Because keep yourselves, verse 18, from the accursed thing. You mean there's temptations in the promised land? Yeah, there is. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, a devil like a roaring lion who's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's called the tempter. Yes, there are temptations. Temptations to break God's commands, to disobey God, and thereby lose what? God's presence, as we will see when they go to take Ai. You know, when we talk about AI, and we're going to get there week after next or next week, I think it's next week, chapter 7. Yes, Achan died. And yes, his family even died. But never forget about the thousands of soldiers that died when they lost the battle. And all those thousands of soldiers died because of one man's sin, Achan. So here Joshua is telling them right up front, do not take the accursed thing, because what will happen? You will make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. That's exactly what happens in the next chapter. They go to take the next city, which is smaller. So Joshua says, well, it's too small for us to send all the soldiers. So let's just send some. And they lose. Why? Because one man did not keep himself from the accursed thing. One man succumbed to the temptation, took some of the treasure that belonged to God. Verse 24, they burnt the city with fire. All that was therein, only the silver, the gold, the brass, and the iron, they put into the treasury, the house of the Lord. God said, if it can survive the fire, then it belongs in the treasury. It belongs to God. And what do you think Achan took? He took some gold. Some other things too, as we'll see. But only the things that could survive fire, because they burnt the city down, were put into the treasury. So verse 25, Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot alive, her father's household, all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. And of course, you've already seen all the blessings that he bestowed upon her, allowing her to become the great-grandmother of King David, of all things. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof, and his firstborn and his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Amen. So God has now transferred, remember, his presence from Moses to Joshua. God was with Joshua in a mighty way. And they've now taken their first city. There are hundreds of cities left. But they've taken their first one. This is all about learning what God is teaching them, all about learning that it is already theirs and God is with them. But it's only going to be taken if God is with them. That's the key. And yes, there is so much that God wants us to have and possess as Christians and to have a victorious life. But we can't allow that accursed thing to hinder that, or we won't have a victorious Christian life. We'll instead lose some battles. Isaiah 59, if you would quickly, verses 1 and 2. It's always sin that can hinder what God wants to give us. Are we going to get to heaven and find a warehouse? That God's going to show us, this is, by the way, what I wanted to give you. I wouldn't be surprised. I would have given you all of it, but you chose to not go forward in victory. Behold, verse 1 of Isaiah 59, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Notice, it's not that he cannot save. We're talking about battles. It's that he will not save because of, verse 2, iniquity. And it won't be any more clear than next week when we see what happens to Ai. One man steals some gold and some garments, and many soldiers die. His whole family dies. They just got into the promised land. So God says to Joshua and through Joshua to the people, verse 16, the Lord hath given you the city. Do you know what God has given us? Look at Galatians chapter 5. Well, he's given us his presence. Amen. He chose to not only save us from hell and give us eternal life, he chose to move in, amen, and make us his temple. And he promised us, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a beautiful promise, isn't it? That we can resist the temptation of the flesh, but only if we'll walk in the Spirit. That's a promise. Now look at Ephesians 4. And down in verse 22, these are the promises that God makes to you and me that are, we've jumped across the Jordan, we're striving to take these cities, but it falls on us. verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. But look at verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He sealed us. He won't leave us. But he could be grieved. With what? Sin. What kind of sin? Verse 31. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. We could go on and on. We've got all these promises that hopefully we're claiming, memorizing. But when it comes to the victorious Christian life, they're all conditional on us. God says it's your land. Joshua, Jericho's your city. Every city's your city. But it's conditional. If you choose disobedience, you can't have the city. Think about that. It's already theirs. The land is already theirs. Did they ever possess it all? No. They only possessed a portion of it. The rest of it, they weren't allowed to take. You know why? Sin. They broke God's law. They broke His commandments. So He gave them this city. And it is the promised land. Amen? It's promised. But we have to pull the sword out. Amen? Anybody know what the sword is? And we have to fight for every city. How many are there? I don't know. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But there's still stuff that needs dealt with in our own walk. Amen? None of us are walking like Jesus yet, so we got work that needs to be done in our Christian life. There's still cities to be taken, victories to be had. But just this one warning, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. The Lord's given you the city. Keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Amen? So let's keep ourselves from the accursed thing and get the sword out and go win some victories for Jesus in the promised land. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord. How we thank you for the great lessons that we can draw from Israel, especially now that they've crossed the Jordan. I pray, Lord, that we would take these truths to heart, that there's so much you have for us and want to give us, but it's conditional on us obeying your word. I pray that's exactly what we would strive to do. We'd be willing to fight, to win victories with your help over sin, over temptation, over the devil, and Lord, that we would go on to victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you. In His name we pray. Amen.